Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. And you come and listen to the show each and every week. We try to bring to you solutions about either purchase, refinance, something about real estate, maybe something about the economy, which may help you in your decisions. I don't know about you, but I used to be an actor, right? I used to have these roles where they would call you to set, you'd do your part, and you'd go home. But a lot of times when you are the star, which I never was, or you're in the series for a long time, they shoot the series out of sequence, i.e., you know, you may have a part whereby you don't come on till Act 4, yet the shooting schedule has you shooting on the first day. They shoot out of schedule. Now, life doesn't work like that, although if you're looking at any of the economic data that's out there or following what's going on, trying to make decisions based on what you see in the marketplace in terms of either inflation, in terms of house prices, in terms of the mortgage rates, it feels like you are doing this out of sequence. It's supposed to happen A, B, C, D, E, and you're getting Q, M, X, L, D, Z, I. And it just doesn't make any sense. What do I mean by that? Let's just look briefly at the inflation data that came in today, this morning, and this show recorded on Tuesday. So if you're listening to me today, some of the second I'm going to go is maybe a little late, but the sentiment is not. So the inflation data came in, and it came in not quite as good as they wished it had, meaning that inflation did go up. It went up about 6.5% is the core, is the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. Now, what that means simply is that a year ago to today, prices have gone up 6.5%. Is that a good thing? Is it not a good thing? Well, I listened to and watched a number of the Fed governors, the nine of them. Actually, there's 14 or so, and they rotate in and out of the committee that decides whether we're going to raise the interest rates one way or the other. And that rotating, about three or four of the Fed governors came out, excuse me, and said, look, inflation is stickier than we thought it was. Really? Because 2 weeks ago you were telling us, oh my gosh, it's going to fall like a rock. We're going to see 2% inflation before you can wake up in the morning. This was the sentiment from a lot of the Fed governors. Now we're looking at stickier than ever, and that inflation will take a lot longer than we had first anticipated. So let's review. A year ago, we're looking at 3%, 3.5% interest rates on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. We're currently looking at 6.5% on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. That's in 1 year. A year ago, we were also looking at about 9.5% inflation. Today, we're looking at 6.5% inflation. And just so that this is real to you, let's reel off a few of the things that cost more today than it did a year ago. Some of the inflation that has taken place on these everyday products, so that it doesn't sound like we're talking somehow in the language of economists, which can somehow bore the heck out of you and make you go to sleep at the same time without realizing that, of course, what are they talking about? Eggs. Everybody is talking about eggs. Well, the price of eggs is up 70% over last year. So if you were paying $3.50, you're now paying about $5.70. Okay? That's a big number in terms of, yeah, a lot of people eat eggs. I mean, let's face it. That's a staple like bread. Speaking of which, butter and margarine, up 32% since last year. Here's another one, fuel oil. Now, I know here in Southern California, I want to say hey to my friends out there at KCAA, people that bring you the show to the IE, Inland Empire, everybody in San Bernardino, Riverside counties, a little bit in L.A., a little bit in Orange counties, Inyo, all these great places, also out in Palm Springs. But let's talk a little bit about fuel oil, which they use a ton up in the Northeast. That's up 27%. Now, I had an argument, I think I told you last week on the show, with a guy who was trying to tell me that, no, market forces, capitalism, yada, yada, yada. Well, I'm a capitalist, too. I'm in that business. I like making money. And here you can make money more than you can in other places. However, if you don't think that the oil prices are rigged, like, why do oil prices go up in the winter? And people say, well, there's such demand on oil prices. Really? Why don't they make more? Well, because blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's exactly what they said last summer when gasoline prices went up to $6.50, $7 a gallon here in California. Now we're hovering about, I don't know, what are prices of gas now? What are you paying?
$4.21.
Okay, $4.21 for a gallon. And that's not even reasonable, right? Because in California, it's about $1 on each gallon in terms of tax that we pay here in California, among other things in this particular state. Very business unfriendly, very consumer unfriendly. However, you can make good money here. The weather's nice, so people like to live here and stay here. And up until, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago, house prices were such that, you know, a couple coming out trying to get started could buy a starter home. Now the starter homes are where? They're way up to 15 somewhere that nobody can drive to work and nobody really knows where that is. Yes, anybody up there in Paris and Hesperia, sorry about that, but you live in places where 10 years ago, it was very much nobody lived there, and the housing that they were building were being built there because the land was so cheap. Now, not so much. Actually, $400,000, $500,000 house price in those areas are normal. If you go to Rancho Cucamonga, forget it, $750,000 to $1 million. These are still an hour and a half away from the beach, which those prices are absolutely ridiculous. Orange County and L.A. County average prices are really jetting to $1 million, all crazy. Let's get back to what we were talking about in inflation for those people who really, looking at a movie, we don't really shoot this in sequence. We shoot this all over the place. Here we go. Motor vehicle repair up 23%. Frozen vegetables. I remember, as Daryl does, frozen vegetables being the new technology. Before that, you couldn't get, well, you could get them in cans, I guess, and that was actually a way by which we used to eat all our vegetables, especially in the winter. It was all canned. Well, nowadays, of course, yes, we get it fresh year-round because we buy all over the world. Matter of fact, produce you grow right here in California doesn't get sold in California, gets sold in other countries. It's the most bizarre thing. Why is that? We don't know. We talk about exporting oil and we shouldn't do that. How about we keep the food here that we make so that it's cheaper so that people don't have to spend an arm and a leg just to eat on a daily basis? Here's another one. Cereals and bakery products up 15%. Pet food, 15%. Motor vehicle insurance, 14.7%. I got to tell you, in California, especially in any zone that you have where you have to buy the California Fair Plan for fire insurance, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The doubling and tripling of your insurance premiums, especially if you've been around a fire in the last 4 or 5 years, 10 years. Certainly the Woolsey fire here in Southern California, which tore up half of my neighborhood. Anybody who's trying to get fire insurance there can't get it unless you go to California Fair Plan. And guess what? You're going to spend an arm and a leg to do so. It's insane. It's too much. And it's making me crazy. Now, on the flip side, there are some things that are actually cheaper. Let's go through a couple of these things. Remember when used car prices last year were up 100%? Well, guess what? This year, they're not up 100%. Where is it? Car prices are down 13% year over year, used car prices, although new car prices are up 6%. And why is it that if you have an electric car and you're out there right now trying to fill or whatever to charge your car, that the money that you spend to charge your electric vehicle costs more than it does for the gas you would pay in a similar type vehicle? Why is that? Now, I know we're getting into the electric vehicles for one reason and one reason only, so we don't burn the planet to pieces, right? We're not looking at costs. But why does electricity cost so much now when it didn't cost so much when we were talking about the conversion to electric cars? Don't tell me demand is up that much. Heck, anybody out there right now can tell you that their fuel bill, not based on electricity but based on gas, yeah, that's up 300%. What do you pay in your gas bill? Do you pay that?
Yeah, it was 10 times this.
It's unbelievable. Why is that? Another rigged thing in the economy. Oh, gas prices are up. Why are they up? We have our own gas here in the U.S. We don't import gas. Matter of fact, we're trying to figure out how we can get more LNG, that's liquid natural gas, to Europe and other ports around the world because we make so much of it here in the U.S. Another thing that drives me absolutely crazy. Major appliances down 3%. Bacon. Oh, yes, this is very important to those out there who have a cholesterol problem. Bacon and related products down 4%. So if you're out there right now and you're thinking BLT, go get it. It's cheaper now than it was last year. And one last thing for all the people in that particular community, women's dresses are down 4.2%. So there are some things that are down. Most things are up. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks for tuning in, listening to the show. KCAA, thank those people over there. They bring me to you each and every week. Saturday and Sunday, we try to keep you up to date as to what's happening in the macro world of economy and what's happening in real estate prices and mortgages. And in the micro world, we try to give you some hands-on experience talking to a loan officer, talking to people who know about loans, whether it's the account executives, whether it's the people who are actually doing loans or myself who've been in the business about 30 years. If you want to see the show, you can go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. If you want to see our website, it's themortgagevoice.com. It's a great place. And earlier we talked about some of the issues, the problems that we're having in the economy and how things are being shot like out of sequence. Like we'll get economic news one way, we'll have a conclusion, then the next week it gets flipped around and it's completely different. It's very confusing, and I don't want you to get confused because the main thing about getting any loan is about focusing on what the monthly is and if you can afford that and if you can qualify for that particular mortgage. With us to talk more about that is Charles Giscombe from Malibu Funding. He's the manager in Las Vegas. Charles, how are you?
Great, Jeff. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we have CPI numbers, we have employment numbers, we have the economic outlook numbers, people, we're going into a recession, we're not going into a recession. But like I say, most people who follow that get confused and then they lose focus and momentum in trying to either purchase a house, refine, stuff like that. Give us an idea as how do we refocus, how do we get our minds back on what's the important part, which is payment on a monthly basis.
I think the biggest thing's a great question too. I think the biggest thing is, everybody that's watching the news, that's hearing all the mortgage news and the financial news and just the market in general, everybody gets an uproar and the panic is created. And what we need to understand in this panic is that this is something or nothing that we have never seen before. We've seen this before.
Right.
We've seen it countless times happening over and over again. I think the biggest thing is to understand that no matter what market it's in, whether it's 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years, it will happen again. And so we just need to understand that from the last time the market, we're going to a recession or a crash has occurred, there's been fail-safes that have been put in place that won't allow it to be exactly the way it was before. Okay? So now what we need to understand is that, okay, we'll cycle back and that we need to focus on what's going on, and that is, the market hasn't crashed. The properties are not upside down. There's still a value, which means there's still business to happen and transactions to happen in this market. And because of that, some of the banks have reshifted, repriced, got pricing better since what was the last quarter. And now here, I have some banks that are saying, hey, listen, we're going to lower the rates a little bit on our side, and we'll give some of that LTV back that we did before. And all that means is that they're not in a panic, and they're in a comfort mode to loan money. Therefore, when we see the banks reacting that way, we should act accordingly and know and understand they're never going to get themselves in a position where they're losing or upside down. We know that. A bank's always going to hedge its bet. So that means let's get back in the market. Let's focus on what programs are out there. We do know that there are really no interest rates that are really low for anyone. So what we need to do now is find out the true loan originators and industry workers that understand what this is and show you a way to get into a loan, a product that will benefit you and not necessarily have a lower interest rate, but give you some value-added services or some different terms, Jeff, that will allow you to write a check that still is within your monthly income and your needs.
Well, that's the key, isn't it, right? If we're looking at all the economic factors and people start getting worried about whether they're going to be employed or not, that's a different story. But for most people who are employed, we're in a terrific employment market right now. They're yes. thinking about, okay, what is it going to cost me to get into this property and what is the monthly? And I don't care who you are and what property price point you're trying to get to. That's the major question. And to boil it down to that, you have to go through the calculations. And if you don't want to, I guess, tell everybody exactly, not tell everybody, but explain to the bank, you maybe have to go a different route in the non-QM market, especially if you have your own business, bank statement loans, things like that, right?
Right. Absolutely, Jeff. That's now the way for me.
Right.
Now, I feel like everyone who is out there, whether you file your taxes or don't file your taxes, okay, now the non-QM is the way to go, because now in the non-QM realm, you don't necessarily have to follow the structure and the guideline of a regular traditional loan. Now you can say, okay, I have bank statements. I can show that I have the ability to repay the ATR, which is a monthly average of my deposits in my account. That now acts as your 1040. That also now acts as your tax return. So now you don't need that. You can use that bank statement. And off that average deposits, you can qualify for your loan. And also, you know, that's not the only financial qualifying. You have other things, CPA letters, profit and loss statements that you can utilize if you are self-employed. And you can get qualified for a loan doing this. And with these type of loans, the interest rates might be a little bit higher, but they can offset it, as Jeff said earlier, with different terms. 40-year loans now, interest-only options on 40-year loans, and vice versa. You still might put down a little bit more of a down payment, but you also don't have any mortgage insurance up to $4 million.
Right.
Okay? And now you can get a loan and get qualified for more and still be writing the check that you would normally write on a lower interest rate traditional mortgage.
So in this particular market, which I think there is great opportunity, if you're not thinking about 2 years ago, if you're not thinking about a 3% mortgage, if you're just looking at the opportunity of this property at the price that I can afford, it's really refocusing on the possibility of what's next rather than what was. And I think that's so important when we're talking to new buyers, when we're talking people in the industry that have been around a long time, like you were saying, we've been through this before. I know what happens in these markets. We come out of these
Correct.
Markets. Prices go up. Demand remains. And because right now we still have positive increase in the value of your home, 7% last year, number just came out. Pretty amazing. And that's the focus that I think the market really needs. And people in the market, people like us who talk to customers every day, need to excite them about the possibility of where we're going, not where we've been.
I couldn't agree more, Jeff. There's still amazing opportunity.
Right.
Still upside. We're not talking about depreciating and values going below. We're talking about values holding. The market's correcting itself in regards to the interest rate, but there's still a lot of property out there to get of value. They're still competitive. You can still get in. And like Jeff said, we were spoiled with the last 7, 5, 7, 10 years of these low interest rates, Jeff.
That's right.
That's not normally what it is. We're used to paying higher interest rates. Now, for me, when everyone could sell the 2% and the 3%, you had everybody in there claiming to be the best. But the truth of it is, the people that have been doing this for a long time knew, Jeff, that was fool's gold.
Right.
Later on, the truth will come, and we'll still have to transact. And us originators will still have to feed our families. And we're not going to be able to feed our families off rates. We're going to have to dig in deep, show people the loan process, And we will earn while we all learn collectively. And that's why I love Malibu funding so much. Jeff gives us an opportunity and a platform to teach, to reach and teach all forms, all different individuals, and all financial and credit positions. That way we're able to help. And the non-QM market has been able to provide so much housing for other individuals. That's why we preach it so much. That's why we talk about it so much, because it offers an alternative, a fair and competitive alternative to traditional lending.
Hey, Charles, that's excellent, and I agree with you 100%. Would you let people know how they can get in touch with you, especially someone who's got the experience and know how to get them a loan?
Absolutely. You can reach me at that famous Vegas 702-328-5191, or you can email me at charles@malibufunding.biz. That's charles@malibufunding.boy. Isaac Zenith.
Charles, thank you very much for coming on once again. Appreciate you going through that with me. I'm just fired up about this here. I think that a lot of the economic news is something just to shut off at times and just focus in on very basic, straightforward solutions to, hey, I want a house. What's it going to cost me? Can I afford it?
I love it, Jeff. That's what we do best. Thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
Thank you very much. That's Charles Giscombe from Malibu Funding out in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. Each and every week, we come to you. We bring you solutions to your purchase mortgage issues or your refinance issue. And yes, people are still refinancing. You find it hard to believe, right? Because rates are what they are. Well, they're not what they were. That's for sure. But they're also not what they were when they were 7.5%. So we're seeing a bit of a fluctuation in the mortgage market itself. Real estate, same thing. Some of the markets are hot. Some of the markets are not. So you really have to look at the trends in the real estate world to figure out whether your offer is going to be a competitive offer or whether you're paying too much for what you think you should be offering. Anyway, to sort out some of the new and exciting products, as well as tell us a little bit more about what's going on at EPM, is Jamal Ransford, who works for them. Been on the show several times. He joins us again now. Jamal, how are you?
I'm doing excellent. How are you?
I am okay. Thank you very much. Although, sometimes when I do the show, I talk too fast, and so what happens is my throat's killing me. But other than that, I'm doing great. Thank you.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. Take it easy.
Take it easy is exactly right. So I'll let you carry the ball a little bit here. I'm going to ask you about what's happening at EPM, Equity Prime Mortgage. It's a great company. How are you all doing, and what are some of the products that you see that are popular and that you're able to offer to borrowers today?
Absolutely. Thank you, Jeff.
Sure.
I appreciate the opportunity to be on here with you. We've been here multiple times.
Uh-huh.
I would love to just talk a little bit about what the market is doing and what I think is going. Right now, Equity Prime Mortgage, we've got a great product that I think will absolutely serve all your listeners. We've got a program, a down payment assistance program, where we actually will give you a 3.5% towards your down payment to a house. And after you make 6 payments, the grant is totally forgiven. And we are the only one in the industry right now giving that. So we want people to buy houses again. We want people to be able to afford homes again. A lot of things that happened last year. Last year is last year. This is a new year. And I think the market is trending in the right direction. But we've got a great program. If you need money to purchase a house, we are willing to give you that 3.5% down FHA to move into that beautiful house.
Wow, that is an amazing, amazing, amazing deal. Think about that for a second. For anybody in the listening audience who may be going, did he say that right? Yes, he did. 3.5% is a loan that you qualify for. How do you qualify for that, Jamal?
Yes, you qualify by, it's just 3 things that we need from you. We just need you to have a 620 credit score with a back end, which is the DTI, debt to income ratio, 48.99. And that's basically all you need. and we will give you a 3.5% down to purchase a home on your county limit. And believe this, Jeff, I've got San Diego County right now submitting a $980,000 loan. We are given 3.5% of that.
Wow. That's amazing. What is that, a non-conforming jumbo?
No, that's actually FHA limit in San Diego.
That's unbelievable. What is their FHA limit down there?
980.
Okay, so the show itself today is being heard in San Bernardino, Riverside counties, a little bit of L.A., a little bit of Orange County, and some out in Palm Springs. So their particular minimum is probably 700, 750, something like that.
Yeah, well, we'll give them 3.5% towards the house.
Unbelievable. That is a tremendous product. When did you start rolling this out?
We started rolling last year because we think there's people in the market that makes good money, but of course, with life and everything that's happening, they couldn't save. So we want to be able to give you money to purchase a home. We, at Equity Prime, we believe in the home purchasing. We believe in putting money back in the community. We believe in helping the community out. So this is one of the... It's not a community outreach, but it's one of those that gives everybody an opportunity to buy a house.
Okay, so in those markets, and this is a national program or just here in Southern California?
It's a national program. The only place that we can't do this is Washington State because they don't take DPAs. But anywhere else, we are doing this loan right now as we speak in Hawaii. I've got multiple loans in Hawaii right now.
It's really an amazing product, and of course, everything springs to mind like, oh my gosh, why isn't more people know about this? Obviously, a radio program like this, blasting it out to the people that listen to the show each and every week will know about it. But in terms of in the marketplace, in terms of the amount of money that you have to lend out, all of that is pretty pretty unique to you guys.
No, absolutely. We it's our program. We have the money to lend. We want people to buy. If you want to buy a home, if you make good money, if you have a job and you want to buy a home but you couldn't save or you use the savings to get something, reach out to us. We will get you a house.
That's amazing. It really is. And in terms of credit requirements, you said 620?
Yes, 620 is the minimum score we need.
And 48 DTI on the back end, that's what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it's really an amazing product. So if you're out there right now and you don't have a down payment, this would be the way to go. Obviously, 3.5% FHA. The qualifications for this particular FHA loan, like any other FHA loan?
That is correct. We go by FHA limit. The only difference is the 620 for the DPA. We do have programs where you go down to 500 on FHA, 500 on VA. But when it comes to the DPA, the requirement is 620.
Which, by the way, is not a very high bar to reach. Most borrowers that we get nowadays have credit scores in the 700s. So to say it 620 is, in the old days, it wouldn't be considered good credit at all. But now with this particular program, especially with FHA takes credit going down. But for your program, 620, that's still a very not easy for a lot of people, but certainly it's not difficult.
It's absolutely not difficult. It's easy to get. And, Jeff, one of the things that people want to let people know, we give you, after you make your sixth payment, that grant is totally forgiven. So you are literally walking into a house where all you have to probably bring to the table is $800 for appraisal fee or $500, whatever your appraisal costs. You can literally walk into a $500,000 house. We'll give you the 3.5%. You get a 6.5% concession from the seller. You were walking into a house with $800.
That's amazing. And in terms of concession, now in these neighborhoods that obviously these houses, now of course, if you're saying 928 or whatever it was in San Diego, that's a pretty good size house. I mean, that's not what we'd consider a starter home. That's a pretty nice house.
Yeah.
So in a lot of.
We'll give you the money. Why use your money when we give it free money out?
No, you're singing to the choir right here. So I think that particular program and what you're trying to do to get people into a home is a great way to really to start off 23. Have you had much success with it so far? Obviously, it sounds like you have.
We've closed $34 million in the last 30 days.
Wow, that's amazing. And most of it here in California or all over?
We're all over the place. We are all over the place. So if you know a friend, if you got a sister, a brother, a mother, father, anyone that's trying to purchase a home, Let them reach out to us. We'll give them the free down payment to buy a house.
That's a great program. Okay, so in terms of investment properties, like a DSCR type of program, do you do those types of programs as well?
Yes, we have DSCR program. We have Cal Halfa.
Okay.
We have FHA, VA, any other products out there. We've got jumbo. We have them.
And the down payment assistance program, what is it called?
It's called Empower DPA, because one of the things we want to do, we want to empower people to go back out and keep purchasing house. We want you to keep building work. That's how money, that's how you make money, real estate.
Right.
And especially, you know, to buy your first home, that's humbling for me. So we really want to help people to purchase their first home. Let's go. We give you the money. Give me a call. Let's get you set up.
Okay. Shout out a phone number. Some way people can get a hold of you, email, something.
Absolutely. They could reach out to me directly at 214-929-8234, or they can shoot me an email at jransford@epm.net. So, again, the phone number is 214-929-8234. If you're looking for free money, give me a call.
Jamal, great pitch. And by the way, it's a terrific program. Really appreciate you coming on the show. That's great information.
It's my pleasure. And as you asked me at the beginning, I think the market is going to trend in the right direction. Real estate is going to be up again. So don't be afraid to make a purchase. The market is coming back. I have a great feeling that this is going to be a great year for all and everyone involved in real estate.
Jamal, thank you again. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Great program that you're offering. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, Jeff. It's always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. That's Jamal Ransford from EPM. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. Each and every week, we bring to you some great guests who come on the air and talk about their expertise. We just had a great guest on the show talk about some DPA programs in certain markets, FHA, 100% financing. Pretty unique, pretty unbelievable. We also were talking a little bit earlier to Charles Giscom, who is talking about the psychology in the market and how people look at things a little bit differently depending on what just happened. Well, we try to rearrange all that by saying, no, you really have to look at what's going to happen going forward, and can you make the affordable payments that the offer is being sent at. Anyway, joining us from San Francisco to give us her perspective on what's happening in that particular market in the real estate world is Julie Peisner, who's been on the show many times from Sotheby Real Estate. She joins us now. Julie, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Hope you're well.
I am fine, too. Thank you very much for asking. I'm glad I have you back on, because to get perspective in certain markets, you really need somebody who's been there, done that, and has been doing it a long time, as well as can see trends that are approaching. During COVID, we saw, you know, the exodus from a lot of cities, the expansion of home working opportunities. But now, since really COVID's behind us, everybody's come back to the city. What do you see in the real estate market in those areas that were hot? That are they still hot? Are prices still going up, down? What's happening?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, as you know, as many areas in a lot of the nation had, you know, the COVID boom.
Yep.
We're definitely seeing that in the past, and
right.
We can now, you know, now that everybody's doing look backs, you know, especially in January, you know, we did the 2022 look back, especially last quarter, we can see very clearly now that the COVID peak is behind us. However, it's always qualified with, it really depends on what segment of the market you're looking at, because San Francisco is so diverse in that regard. it's there are so many little pockets of the market,
right.
And you know, it's really hard to say overall. I mean, I know the latest news and articles that are going out this week are that the median home price dipped for the first time since, I don't know, something like 2014. That is true. However, when they talk about what that means, they're talking about the metro area, and that includes not just San Francisco. That includes the East Bay, the North Bay, the South Bay. It's the whole metro area, which is massive.
Mm-hmm.
If you dig down into, you know, the sub-markets, you're going to find all sorts of different numbers. And so I think overall where the market is that the condo market's pretty flat.
Okay.
Which is a really good time to buy.
Yeah. Well, tell me what a price range would be in a flat condo market. This will give people a perspective.
Yeah, I think anywhere above $1 million, let's say, you're going to see different, you're going to see inventory kind of go up and down depending on what, you know, are you looking for one bedroom, two bedrooms? There's like no three bedrooms. So that market is probably always like pretty healthy. But, you know, in the entry level, it's probably slowing down a little bit because you have the first time buyers who maybe can't afford because, you know, the higher interest rates.
Right.
And things like that. And then I'd say over 1.5 is where I noticed that the condo market was really starting to soften.
Okay.
But then when you look at, especially now, like, you know, Q4 was really slow. And,
right.
You know, and it was a great time to negotiate if for buyers. I mean, and, you know, that rare, it looks like before you know it, that, you know, buyer market is going to be gone. So it's you know, if you can swallow a higher interest rate, you know, and maybe even like now we're actually seeing buyers negotiate rate buy downs with the seller, you know, seller credits and things like that.
Right. Right.
People are doing it. Like, it's a luxury that it's not going to last for long.
Well, that's that 3-2-1 buy down program or
exactly,
whatever. Yeah. No,
exactly.
No. Right.
And then, you know, you have the seller to pay. You still get your price, you know, whatever. You're going to also give me, you know, $20,000, $30,000 above that. So, you know, do rate buy downs and what have you. We're seeing more of that. And, but under 2 million single family homes, the market has totally picked up. Like in January, I started seeing listings going pending after, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8. The ultra kind of luxury market over 5 million.
Right.
You know, that hasn't changed much because it's all cash buyers. What they're doing now is getting deals, you know?
Right.
So it's like that market softened, but that's a whole different market too. So that's what I mean by like there's so many different market segments in the San Francisco and Greater Bay area. But I do think, you know, the take home for me for buyers is it's a really good time to negotiate, and you just, you know, you're not, it doesn't last as long as you think it's going to last. And before you know it, you're then back to competing with other buyers, you know, with multiple offers, which, by the way, still seeing under 2 million for single family homes.
I see. Okay. So tell me about the tech sector and the layoffs. Has it really affected that particular area? Silicon Valley?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's definitely, I've seen it personally. It's,
okay.
You know, I think it's kind of slowing some people down. I mean, a lot of people have money in the stock market, and but it's not all concentrated in San Francisco per
okay.
se. I mean, they're doing lots of layoffs, but they're not all like 150,000 within city limits.
Okay.
But it is definitely, you know, affecting it. I think for my sellers, we still haven't found that crystal ball yet, but, you know, I'm telling people, like, you know, you have to wonder, like, how long is this going to last? And, you know, if you're in a good position, do you wait it out? Or, as you know, like, do you kind of take a little less now because you can also buy in this market? And you know that you're never going to be able to, you know, buy low and sell high in the same market.
Well, that's very true, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to do that there, why even sell at all?
Exactly.
I mean, if you...
Pick your poison. Like,
right.
If you have a lot of equity, maybe you're going to take a little haircut and, you know, make a little less. But you can also buy for less. So, you know...
It's very interesting. And now I know you also travel out to the Tahoe area. Isn't that right? You still go out there occasionally?
Yeah. We have a house there.
Right. And during COVID, I know that you had moved. And
last time
you,
there.
Right. You had spent a lot of time there. Do you see that the this uncertainty, which you say may not even last, I mean, we may see a very competitive housing market in San Francisco for the summer, and so this may only last a couple months. Do you see that also extending further out, the further you get away from the city?
I think that kind of we need more space, you know, and we can work from indefinitely, you know, kind of, you know, big market kind of business is not happening as much anymore, and now it's scaled back to more of a traditional, this is a vacation home market.
I see.
But it's also Tahoe where, like, you know, we call it the Bay's backyard. Like, 30% of the people in San Francisco probably go to Tahoe at a minimum, you know. So there's still that back and forth between wanting a second home, and it's usually somewhere. I mean, there's a lot of Napa second homeowners, and there's a lot of Tahoe. So I think that market is still healthy, but it didn't, you know, like, I don't think anyone expected it to do what it did during COVID.
No, so I don't think so.
That can't really last for too long. But, you know, the prices have pretty much stabilized. I don't really think they're going to go down too much.
That's interesting. I agree with you. Listen, we're up against it. I got about 30 seconds left, but I want to give you an opportunity to tell people how to get in touch with you, especially if they need a great agent up in the San Francisco area.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Text me, 415-823-0824.
Okay.
Or go to juliepies.com.
Excellent. Okay, very good. Julie, thank you very much for coming on. Always appreciate what you do in terms of informing.
Thank you, Seth.
And and keep those cards and letters coming. I love the postings.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. That's Julie Peisner from Sotheby's. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, for listening each and every week. We try to bullet out to you all the information that we have here saved up and learned throughout the week. A lot of this is we get from 6 or 7 sites online, plus my own knowledge in the industry, been doing it about 30 years. If you want to see and hear this show on a weekly basis and you miss the radio show at KCAA, you can go to their archive, KCAA.com, or go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. That's our show. You can see and hear what we do each and every week. Archived are hundreds of shows there that you can, you know, take a look at. I know that I have people, it's funny, I have people that will listen to, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 in a row. Now, I don't know, I don't have 5, 6, 7 hours in a row, but apparently some people do, because I get the likes from this show, likes from that show. I think either they're trying to butter me up or sell me something, but I really appreciate the people out there who do listen to the show. We're also on a number of podcasts. Daryl, do you have any of those?
I've got all of them, I hope.
Great, excellent, perfect.
I got Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Audacity, YouTube, and podclips.io.
That's Daryl, and he is with us each and every week. He's the producer. He has a number of his own radio shows, owns his own radio station. He's way more experienced in radio than I am. I thank him mightily for producing and putting the show on every week. Thanks, Daryl. Appreciate that.
My extreme pleasure.
Okay, excellent. All right, so let's get right to it right now. The 30-year fixed rate is 6.62%. And by the way, the rates are going back up. We were down at around 6.1% 3 weeks ago. Now we're up at 6.5%, 6.62%, partially. partially because the inflation, partially because they're nervous about the economy, and partially because the banks want to make some money. They see an uptick in applications, and guess what? Boom, the next week, rates gone up. Just makes me so angry. Okay, 5.86% for the 15-year, 6.12 for FHA, 6.25% for the 30, for the jumbo loan, and 6.72 for the 5-1 ARM. That 5-1 ARM, in talking to a number of people in the industry, why is the 5-1 ARM more expensive than the 30-year fixed? Think about that for a second. So you want a loan for 5 years, meaning that you're going to have it fixed at a fixed rate for 5 years. Then you're going to do the rest of the loan, whatever the term of the loan is, at whatever the prevailing rates are in the market on the adjustable rate mortgage. And it was explained to me that this is such an unusual and weird economy, weird meaning that none of the economists can get together and figure out if we're going to go into a recession, if we're not going to go into a recession, if we're going to have high inflation, if we're not going to have high inflation, or if mortgage rates and the Fed rates are all going to rise or they're going to fall. So as a result, there is great risk in short-term loans like this. So therefore, they don't want to do them, and they raise the interest rates to make sure that you don't do them. So anyway, that's why, and that's the explanation. The 2 years is at 4.5%. The 10-year is at 3.7. It's still a 0.8% of a spread. That 2-year looks to me, it's a pretty good investment. I mean, if you're looking at inflation at 6.5% and you're very, very nervous about the economy and you're looking for some safe haven, 2 years is still not bad. Yes, you're losing 2%, but you're not losing 5% or 6%. Or last year in the market, 15%. That's what my portfolio said. And yes, I do have a portfolio. And yes, I do have somebody that helps me do that. Why? Because I don't know the stock market. And yes, I had a few bucks made over the last 5 or 10 years. And that's where we have it invested. So if you're 60, 65, like I am, you are really nervous about the stock market. So you might be looking around for a safe haven. And certainly, 2 year at 4.5% can do exactly that. I'm not an FC, so don't trust my opinion, but just looking at the straight numbers, that's what it looks like. Home prices higher than a year ago, 6.9%. So that means that your house is worth 6.9% more today than it was 1 year ago on average in the U.S. markets. Is that a good thing? Yeah, I think it's a good thing. However, if you notice that 6.9% is very similar to the 6.5% we have in inflation. So what is the biggest component in the index for the consumer price index? You're right. 40% of it is housing. And I was listening to a guy. Okay, let me get this guy. Jeremy Siegel. So if you go to CNBC or you go to Bloomberg or you go to any of these, you know, MSNBC, any of these financial networks, and you watch, they always bring on contrarian viewpoints. Why? Because it's good TV, and also because the people who are the talking heads, they don't know as much as they think, so you want to get people on who really have a contrarian opinion. So this guy, Jeremy Siegel, and everybody on the panel was giving him, you know those looks at the party when some guy is spouting off and everybody at the party is kind of looking like, oh my gosh, rolling their eyes, giving it the thumbs down look. Well, that's what this guy was getting from the panel, but I liked what he had to say. Very optimistic about the economy, very optimistic about inflation, very optimistic about the CPI. And he said, as I quite agree, that 40% of the CPI, the consumer price index, is about rent, is about mortgage payments. And he said the housing and rental actually negative for the last 4 months. That means that the growth in rents and mortgages have actually fallen rather than risen over the last 4 months. And he said that particular component of the CPI has yet to be priced in, meaning it is yet to be accounted for within the inflation number. So he's bullish thinking, no, this core inflation number is a lot lower than what we're seeing at 6.5%. Interesting, isn't it? As I said, he's a Wharton professor named Jeremy Siegel, and you can listen to him. And I think he has an affliction of some sort, so when you're listening to him, just listen to what he has to say. Very smart guy, and everybody on the panel was, as I said, rolling their eyes. So there you go. That's a grain of salt. More foot traffic, busier, earlier spring season. That's the buying season that's about to pop. So we're looking at March. That's kind of officially, you know, when we get to March 12th, that's daylight savings. That's kind of it's not the official, but it's pretty much when spring begins. So we're at the end of, what are we, at February 13th, something like that today. And by the time this show airs, we'll be at 18th. So we're talking about another two and a half weeks before spring buying season and before we see more houses come on the market and we see where we really are in terms of how many people are going to be putting houses into contract. So there are a number of experts that say that that has hit earlier this year, that we've seen more more housing on the market earlier than we normally would have in the spring buying season, and therefore that's what's happening in your real estate market in your area. What do you think? Let me know. You can always email me or you can text me, and my Twitter handle is at Jeff6493. So if you want to tweet at me, you can do that too. Declining but not crashing. That's the housing market, as told by one of the articles I read. Very interesting. Three things that the buyer should know about, and I'll explain what they are right now. Number one, home price trends. In your neighborhood, if you want to buy in a particular neighborhood, if you want to check out what's going on, look last 3 months where house pricing trends have gone. Have they been going up? Have they been going down? Or have they been remaining flat? You want to base your offer on the trend, not on what's happening today. For instance, if you have an ascending market, the market's going up, you want to give a little bit more in terms of what your offer is. Why? Because you want to match the expectation of the seller. In the reverse, if it is going down, you don't want to pay too much. So you want to lowball a little bit. Yes, the old dreaded lowball for the seller is coming back in vogue, especially in those neighborhoods that are trending down. Number two, make lower offers. I just alluded to that. Make sure that you're not lowballing, I guess is what I'm trying to say, but you can make a lower offer than you would have in an ascending market, and especially if you're looking out for those trends that I'm talking about. And number three, sellers can accept lower offers. Why is that? Because over the past three and a half years, you've seen 35 to 40% increase in the value of every property in the Inland Empire. That's an amazing statistic. You think about that. You're talking, let's say, 1 million people, 2 million people in my listening audience alone. You're probably seeing in that area a 35 to 40% increase in the cost of a home. That means those people that own a home and have been paying their mortgage have seen those equity increases. That's why if you make a lower offer and you're the only game in town, you can expect the seller to give a little. Why? Because why not take? You don't have to, as they say, what is it? Even a dog leaves, what is it? Even a dog leaves a bone on the table. Something like that. It's, do you know what the saying is, Daryl?
That one I'm not familiar with.
Okay. No, it's just about making sure that, yes, you can make a lower offer. And yes, you can expect the seller to negotiate with you. That's why these 3-2-1 buybacks or buy downs are all in vogue. Anyway, I'm Jeff Parton. That is the Mortgage Voice. Really appreciate you listening to the show today. And we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.